This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. You heard the sound at the top of the hour, a bombing in the midst of a crowd in Ankara, Turkey's capital. Turkey's worst terrorist attack in its modern history. Is it Turkey's 9/11? Is it a turning point in modern Turkish history? A pair of suicide bombings kills or wounds 600 people, nearly 100 dead at the scene of a peaceful rally in the capital and a crowded train station. Reports say ISIS may have been responsible, but there are a number of suspect parties with an axe to grind with the Turkish regime, the Kurdish radicals, the PKK, people with opposition party sympathies who want to see President Recep Tayyip Erdogan lose further power in upcoming parliamentary elections. No groups have claimed responsibility for the atrocity at this point, but civilian demonstrators are shouting thief, murderer, Erdogan, charging that the president failed to protect his own citizens. All of this taking place before a backdrop of mourning and grief all over the nation. Joining us now once again is Elmira Beyrasli, author of From the Other Side of the World, Extraordinary Entrepreneurs, Unlikely Places. She's co-founder of Foreign Policy Interrupted. Elmira, welcome.
Thanks for having me, John.
This is a sad day.
It's very, very heartbreaking. I'm usually stoic, but I have to say it was a very hard weekend.
And this kind of feeling of vulnerability in Turkey is new for this generation?
For this generation, it has. I think Turkey has gone through a lot of crises during the 1970s and 1980s. But certainly for the past 20 years, I think Turkey has only seen positive growth, economic growth, a stable government with the ruling Justice and Development Party, known by the initials AKP, ruling uninterrupted in Turkey for the past 13 years. What we saw happen on Saturday, I think, exemplifies the growing polarization in Turkey and this growing fissure between people who support Erdogan, people who don't support Erdogan, and just people who want to promote their own political point of view.
You know, I can't do forensics in this sort of thing, but the fact that neither ISIS nor the PKK have claimed responsibility for this, and both of those groups are known for not being hesitant to come in and claim responsibility for something like this, suggests either that they're not responsible, and this is something really internal in Turkey, or everybody understands that this is a huge event that opens a whole different kind of can of responses.
Well, I think, yes, you're right. No one has claimed responsibility, but I think the focus has been on the government and what the government has failed to do. The government failed to provide adequate security on Saturday for a rally where thousands of people were expected to come.
And because it was a anti-government rally, a call for peace, something sort of critical of President Erdogan, perhaps the security was lax or something like that.
And a lot of people have criticized the government for not providing adequate security on it. And then the subsequent responses by the government officials saying that there were no security lapses. I think a lot of people in Turkey are angry. I think the conduct of the government has been one of warmongering. Erdogan has always taken on this combative style. He's always played the underdog and the victim in Turkey, where he's had to battle whether it's the Turkish generals or the Turkish elite and represent the common man in Turkey, what he calls the Black Turk. And he has really gained a lot of political power and because of that particular position. But what's happening now is that in order to hold on to power, he's appealing to Turkish nationalists and attacking minorities in Turkey and willfully bringing Turkey into what is essentially a two-front war, one with the Kurds and then one with Islamic extremists on the border with Syria.
What do you make of this Reuters report that suggests that Turkish intelligence may have given explosives and weapons to ISIS at some point in the past and that that may be the reason why there are reports out of Ankara that this is an ISIS-organized attack?
Certainly, there have been indications that the Erdogan government has previously supported extremists in Syria that were against Assad. Erdogan has not, you know, he's made it very clear that he's very anti-Assad and would like the removal of Assad in Syria. And that, you know, I think people know that very well. I think right now, what we're seeing right now is all of the actions that Erdogan has taken, it's really backfiring on him.
It's like an al-Qaeda situation. The Mujahideen that the U.S. supported in Afghanistan came back to bite the U.S. in the 9/11 attacks. This seems to be possibly something like that. Describe your feelings. You just got back from Turkey of seeing the pictures over the weekend of places and streets you know well.
I do. I have lots of family and a lot of friends in Ankara. I actually spoke to a Kurdish friend of mine. She's a human rights lawyer this morning just to make sure that she was okay. You know, she talked about how scared she is and how disheartened she is about the situation that is going on in Turkey. I had met her about 10 years ago, actually in southeastern Turkey, when she was doing a lot of pro-Kurdish activist work. And she told me that she's afraid to send her children to the playground where they might be attacked for either speaking Kurdish or for being Kurdish. There's a lot of polarization now in Turkey, and it's a very volatile situation. I know last week I talked to you and I said that people are fearing that the spread of violence will go throughout the country, and I think those fears are real now.
And the election will not be rescheduled, at least that's what we hear from the government in Ankara. Elmira Bezrali is author of From the Other Side of the World, Extraordinary Entrepreneurs, Unlikely Places, and she's co-founder of Foreign Policy Interrupted. Elmira, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, John.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.